This week, Nick and I are 25 stories up, chatting and drinking with the guys from Howls and Hoods. Do these last 3 weeks that we what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick White.
And I don't think we've had a sweeter view on podcast in the 2 years we've been running now.
Dude, I tell you, man, this is classic Chicago right here, man. We are on the 25th floor of the Chicago Tribune Tower, and we're here with the crew behind Howls and Hood, one of the coolest scenes downtown Chicago. We got Lee Jarvis, Phil Miley, Max Cavanaugh. What's going on, fellas?
Welcome.
We're doing great, guys. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for bringing us up here. It's really fun to like stop by these great Chicago places that are doing great things with beer. And you know, Nick has known about you guys for a while. He's downtown all the time. I don't make it down here as much, so he's drinking in downtown Chicago. So it's great to finally check you guys out and see what you got going on.
For sure, man. And then I'm really excited because I've been to some cool parties here. We're gonna dive into that a little bit here. But Phil, I'll throw this to you, man. Probably the most fun part about, you know, your bar, aside from the ridiculous tap list, is that you're in Tribune Tower, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool to walk up to this building every day and see where you're going to go to work. Like you guys said, on the 25th floor, we have private event space that overlooks the Wrigley Building and Trump Tower. You can see the Sears Tower, Navy Pier, all of that. It's the coolest view in the city, I think. I mean, it's better. You're right in the middle of it as opposed to looking down at it, like the Hancock Building and the Sears Tower. So it's pretty awesome. You can also see Derrick Rose's apartment when they're throwing parties and Carlos Boozer from the Trump Building. I don't know if Boozer still lives there.
You can see Derrick Rose injure his knee again from this floor.
That dance move. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to talk about that. But
so
yeah.
Anyone's looking for Howls and Hoods, it's like basically kind of Grand and Michigan. I don't think Grand runs.
I think the biggest landmark is if you just think of Michigan Avenue and the Chicago River. Everybody knows, you know, the Wrigley Building and the big clock, and we're just right across the street from that. So Pioneer Square, where Marilyn Monroe was for a little while, that's where we are.
Right on. Now, Max, let's dive into the basics here. You guys have a ridiculous amount of beer here. Something like 114 taps, is that right?
Yeah, so we have three bars. Each bar has 120 handles, 120 beers, and we have a couple that repeat just to keep our bartenders from running, because obviously 120 handles, that poor bartender has to run 40 yards. which actually, thinking back to it, on St. Paddy's Day, some of our guys wore like Fitbits, and some of them did like 7-8 miles over the course, and just behind the bar, they went 7-8 miles over the course of the day. So it's a long bar. They definitely worked hard on that. But 120 handles for three bars, so 360 total faucets, and it's a lot to balance. It's fun.
Is there a focus at all with all the taps, or kind of like whatever you like to drink? Like,
there's definitely a couple of beers that are like just what Phil and I like to drink. That like kind of like, oh, that's our shift beer, you know. But I think with 120 taps, we try to keep things that hits every style, but also, you know, pays reference. Like, we're always going to have Anchor Steam on. It's one of the originals. They set the way for everyone else. We always have a Sierra Nevada on. They set the way for everyone else. So we want to kind of pay homage to them and still get everything brand new and crazy and limited. But we want to always be able to come in here and go, yeah, I can get my classic Green Line that put Goose Island on the map. I can get my Anchor Steam that put, you know, California and Steam Beer on the map. But otherwise, we're kind of free flow. And we change with the season, obviously. So we're big on the more seasonal, like farmhouse ales right now, a lot of IPAs. And then I'm a big winter beer fan, so I'm excited for stouts and porters and all that good stuff to come on in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
This is not the week for it right now, though.
No, we're back up to this 90-degree weather that, like, we were all like, all right, fall's here. It's coming in, Oktoberfest, pumpkin beers. And I'm like, all right, now I just need those pale ales now again.
For sure, for sure. Now, Phil, let's talk about how long you've been here, and then what was in this space before you guys took over the first level of the Tribune Tower?
Well, I've been here since day one, so since February of 2013. We basically took over space from WGN. They were in the ground floor level where our main restaurant is. They moved up to the seventh floor, and we gutted it all out and built a huge restaurant. I think the inside is like 380 seats, the patio seats 450. Okay. We have a private event space in the back where we do weddings up to 150 seated. We've done 400 or 500 person cocktail parties down there. And then we have the private event space where we are right now, which inside, if you're unfortunate to host a party up here in the wintertime, is like 40 to 50 people. But if you can get outside on a nice day in the wintertime, you can do 150 people. In the summertime, obviously, you want to get as many people up here as you can because, I mean, it's a hell of a view.
No, yeah, it's great. I think if you follow Nick and I on Twitter or Instagram, we took plenty of photos.
Oh, man. I was almost embarrassed, man. I felt like a tourist a little bit, man. We went to work. It's just that snapping all time.
It's,
all types
it's
of photos.
True, though. Like, you live in this city and you hustle and bustle around and you forget, you know, unless you're coming from the north side or you're coming from a couple of days off in Michigan. You went over to Founders the other week, right? So yeah. you come, you're driving back up the South Lakeshore Drive and you see this city and you just forget like how amazing the architecture is, how amazing the skyline is, because you're right in the middle of it. And this space gives you that opportunity to just look, be in the middle of it, but look out on it. And it's just cool. You just forget sometimes.
Yeah, it's I love Chicago for the fact that it's like this living, breathing museum, right? It's actually a very fun space. And you were telling me a fun story on the way up, man, about this floor in particular, man, and how we know how Housing Hood, you know, is a tribute to the guys, the architects who designed the building.
We know, but they don't know. People
out listening. So tell us about Housing Hood and tell us about this floor in particular that we're on, man.
Yeah. Colonel McCormick, who everybody knows.
Assume, always assume that everybody knows what's going on.
Right. It's true. It's true. Like, even though you live here, you don't know what's going on. It's a big place, man. So Colonel McCormick, who everybody knows from McCormick Place, right, knows that name, had this building commissioned to be built. And he set out a contest to architects all around the world to submit ideas on this property, on the Tribune Tower. Howells and Hood, they obviously won, and in 1925, this building was finished and open to the public. Where we are on the 25th floor all the way up to the 33rd floor was Colonel McCormick's apartments. Okay. So he got to live here and his offices and all of that. And when you're out here, if you ever get a chance to come, you can check it out. There's a lot of personal touches that he has on here to pay homage to the lobby of the building with the quotes from other publicists and writers and things like that, all the way up to on his floors where he has the Gettysburg Address carved into the side of the building, a couple of poems carved in the building, even a quote from himself carved in the side of his apartment.
All right,
so,
nothing like that.
You know, walk out onto the terrace.
That's
and
the first thing I would have done.
Put your own quote.
I quote myself.
Yeah. You know, you got come out here, drink a cup of coffee or something, look out over a city that didn't look like this at all in 1925 because none of this was here except for the Wrigley Building across the street.
That Trump and Tower wasn't here?
No. Trump, he hadn't taken over the world yet. You know, Hotel Intercontinental wasn't here yet either on the other side. And drink your cup of coffee, look up at one of your more famous quotes that you yourself coined. So not a bad gig. It's like king of the world, right? So
I don't even know if I would have like a good quote of myself to put up there. I'd feel like whatever I put up there, I would regret instantly.
Like, it's like a bad tattoo.
It's
like,
in stone, oh, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, if he ended up a year after he was, it was up there and he didn't like it, he had the money to tear
That's
it down
true,
and put
yeah.
up some new Indiana limestone. So.
So those quotes carry over into the restaurant as well, right?
Like, correct. Yeah. That was kind of the ownership's, idea was to pull the history of the Tribune building into our restaurant. So the lobby is all granite from a quarry in Italy that they brought over in the 20s to come build this lobby. And we brought it from the same quarry in Italy over to do our dining room. And instead of quotes from famous publicists, it's quotes from Frank Sinatra and Jacques Plante and Mark Twain and people like that all kind of relate to Chicago history, and then also food and beverage and Chicago sports, that kind of stuff. Abraham Lincoln has a quote on the wall down there.
Oh, okay. So
Frank Sinatra is my favorite, though, because it's the quote is, I feel sorry for people that don't drink. Because when they wake up in the morning, that's the best they feel all day.
Okay, yeah, that's like a good line.
That's like,
see, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I could put that one on my wall.
Right, just say you said it and be like, oh, I said it, but I think I remember someone else saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Max, what's the philosophy behind the tap list here, man? Because this is one of my favorite locations for beer when you're downtown. We talked about Side Door, Timothy O'Toole's, Jake Nelnick's. Those are all. But when you're downtown near the Magnificent Mile, there aren't many places that look like those places that I just named. Why go in that direction in a place like this? I think these are some of the most important bars in towns.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Definitely when you talk about this place, it's, you know, with all the taps we have, we wanted to keep tons of stuff that we can keep local, obviously. And I'm a transplant to the city. I've been here about a year and a half at most. So I have no allegiances, and this is going to sound maybe a little weird, but like when everyone freaks out about zombie dust, I don't freak out, because I was never at a point where I was like, where do I find it? You know, I was like, I came here a year and a half ago, and kind of their production already cleared up and everything else, and I could find it wherever I wanted to. So the list here is all about just, you know, highlighting whatever's new, whatever's cool. We always keep about 7 to 8 beers fully rotating, and includes nitro. We have 8 nitro handles, which is totally rare. So we're always able to keep on 7 permanent nitros, and then put on something random, which is great in the summer. You get those random like IPAs or pale ales. We had Rebaeus Nitro on last week, which is kind of cool.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah. I think it's good to have a place like this downtown. I mean, it definitely allows a place to meet your friends. That's, you have 40 friends you want to get together and you want to drink great beer. We can put together a party for you where, you know, you love to go with Melnick's for 4 other friends and hang out on the table and everything else. But this place, you can literally have like all of your friends come in to watch, you know, whatever football game you want or whatever else on the Sunday coming in this winter. And everyone could find something to drink. Everyone could find something to enjoy. And it's nice also because with the amount of beer we have on tap, we can tie it into the cocktail program as well. I know Phil was working on a new cocktail for the winter, and we're going to use Anderson Valley's Blood Orange Goza on it to kind of bring up kind of like a French 75 with that in it. So it's just nice to have the options for like all those things. And working for a big company, it's okay to just sit on things that are kind of expensive and wait for when it's right to release them, not just, you know, click it out right away.
So you said not freaking out about zombie dust. Do you still freak out about a beer? Like, you're working for this big company, you're kind of like, I can get that beer, no problem.
Oh, I freak out about beer all the time. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm completely a nerd still. And I'll freak out beer here, too. Like, there's times when I'll go through a week or two where I just drink the same beer every night when I get off work. And even if it's just, like, a simple pale ale done really, really well, it's just getting excited about something that like brings you back to that first time you had that beer that was like ta-da moment. And for me, I mean, I lived in St. Louis when I was a little younger, right when I got out of college, and like Schlafly, and that was like my first kind of craft brew, and I was like, this is so different than what I've been drinking, but I kind of dig it. And so it's just nice when those things kind of like tie in those great memories, and you can bring it all back home. I think that's kind of how I buy beer, is just like, is this going to make some kind of like, you know, something you want to come back to? As much as I love Imperial Stouts, it's like you're going to have maybe 6 ounces of it. But if it's like that really great Imperial Stout that has something that just ties you back to like that camping trip in the woods with the chocolate or whatever else, you're just like, that's what I want.
Okay.
So yeah, great stuff like that.
That's true, man. And shout out to St. Louis, man. I had a layover in St. Louis and I was a little pissed about it. There was a Budweiser tap room there. And then I walked a little further to the south.
St. Louis, man.
But then there was a Schlafly tap room too, man. So and then you could get beers to go there and put them on and put them right on the plane. That was pretty cool, man. And you guys are working on verticals as well. Is that right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Kind of something that when I took over the beer program initially. We had space, and I got an opportunity to buy some things, and didn't tell anybody what we were doing. And you know, then the first month of inventory goes out, and there's 3 Goose Island Bourbon County Stouts on there. You know, one is 2013, one's 2014, and we weren't really open when some of those things came out. Yeah. And it was some things that I was able to bring in. and sit on, and then eventually started chatting with the ownerships and our former vice president of operations, and was like, this is what I got going on. So if you see some weird inventory spikes, or or you see something that's on inventory for, you know, more than 3 or 4 months, this is what's going on. They're like, absolutely, you know, do it, do get what you can, and build what you can.
Sure. Okay.
You know, like the barley wine dinner that we did in January was, I had an opportunity to buy 2011 through 2014 Sierra Nevada Bigfoot barley wine. And when I met with them that day, I said, I'm going to buy this. And in January, we're going to do a dinner, and you guys need to come back and be part of doing the dinner, talking about it. So, you know, that was, I think, in June, before they did beer camp at Navy Pier. And
it was good. Did you make it to that?
No, I didn't make
it. That was really good.
I worked.
Yeah.
Every day at beer camp. I didn't get to go, but some of our staff got to go, and that was cool. But they came here a lot during that time, too. So it was fun. But, you know, then as it got closer, I reminded them, hey, January, we're going to be doing this event. Anything cool you want to do for that event, or bring in, or anything like that special for the event? The food was outrageous. And, you know, 2015 Barley Wine came out. So it was actually a 5-year vertical that we released for this party. It was like 70 people. Yeah. And we just drank our faces off. And they also released Nooner Pills at that party too.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
they brought some cases of that in for guests to take away, and then we had a keg of that to greet them with, so they didn't just walk in and drink 10.5% barley wine. They had something to kind of keep their palates going and stuff as you go through it. But
so what has been the like experience, like you go back to like this, like you kind of have access to like all this beer, kind of whatever, because it's a bigger company and everything. Like we talked to a lot of brewers that are starting out in small bars, like how was this before coming into this, like when you first started working here and getting into building this program here? How's that been?
I got one quick thing to say. I still go to other bars in the city and I go, how come I didn't hear about that beer?
Oh, yeah.
So in no way do we get special treatment. I'm like, what? Where did this beer come from? I want that beer. So it's good. I mean, that's the great thing about craft beer, and especially in this city. I mean, being in the middle of the country, you get everything from the West Coast, everything from the East Coast, good amount of imports from Europe. So, yeah, there's plenty of times. I go to another bar, and I'm like, what? I got to tell my rep tomorrow and be like, how come I didn't know about that?
I remember one time I went to Local Option and was hanging out with my buddy Jose and Tony, the owner of Local Option. And he had tapped Hintachino Anbai, which is like this Japanese plum saison from Japan. And like... six barrels came to the city. He had two.
Okay.
And I was like, what the? So immediately I'm like on the phone with my Lakeshore rep, like, why didn't I get this? But he's Tony, so that's why he gets it.
I tell you, man, Local Option is the oddest location in this. First of all, it's like they got a Cajun food menu. It's in Lincoln Park, and it's a fucking metal bar. But you go, like, you walk 2 blocks north of Local Option, and people are have a hard time selling Bud Light.
Yeah.
You know? And this guy's over there. Yeah.
You're a block and a half away from DePaul and State, like the bar State or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you go a little bit farther, and you're kind of over that Clybourne area. But right there, it's all residential.
Yeah.
But, man, he gets some cool stuff, and they just rock that place out. It's so dope. Yeah. I love that place.
Yeah, that place is pretty rad. Now, you talked about the bigger company that you guys are a part of. It's Bottleneck is the overarching company, right? And this is one of the businesses under Bottleneck?
Bottleneck Management, born and raised in Chicago. They started with a bar up by Wrigley Field called Trace. Right across the street. If you ever want to go before a game, it's quiet.
Or after.
They're
open till 4.
Yeah. It's one of the only bars in Wrigleyville that has a 4 o'clock license, so it gets nuts there late at night. But we always say it's cloudy with a chance of Trace when we're going to go there. But, you know, pregame, all that. Then they opened Boundary over on Division and Damon.
Oh, yeah.
So we got that joint. And then... Yeah, they do. They've upped their game from, I think it's still 12 drafts, but they've upped their game to 120 beers altogether. And so does Sweetwater, too, I think, right?
Yeah,
Sweetwater. Sweetwater, which is right across the river from us on Michigan Avenue. South Branch over in Financial District Monroe
in the
river.
Michigan.
Right on the Wacker. Well, right on the river in Monroe. Okay. Sweetwater is on Michigan. And we opened Old Town Poorhouse in Oak Brook. That brand then expanded to, oh, and Well Street first. I mean, that was the one.
Oh yeah, I like that spot. I didn't realize that was part of the family. Yeah.
That's the first big beer bar that they did. Okay. So that was first 90 beers on draft with 137 tap handles, I think, because they do repeaters on both ends. Big limited supply, like one-offs. They get a lot of really cool stuff there too. And then we opened Old Town Poorhouse in Gaithersburg, Maryland, so outside of D.C. And again, that's another kind of 90 beers, I think, on draft. More similar draft system to Well Street. Same with Oak Brook, Old Town Poorhouse.
Yeah, we've got a. About to open that one. It's beautiful. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's in the middle of what looks kind of like a town that like Stepford Wives lives in. It's like just been built. So like everything's way too clean. Like there's even like fake graffiti, like, you know. But yeah, 120 taps and then 90 unique beers. So it makes it nice for the bartenders too to have, if it's a long bar again, 30 on the end, repeat. So again, we're trying to still.
That's the one thing that we're working on with our place, because you guys saw the main bar, which is 1 through 120 all the way down. So you can only imagine how long that has to be. And when you're going to one, you know, you're going to one.
Yeah, you're making taste 14, of flights for people.
And you're out one service like, well.
I'll take and one six and 120. Yeah.
Oh.
114 drafts here, and it sounds like a lot of spaces are doing over 100. The guys who clean draft lines must really love you guys, man.
I think Stuber and Sons is pretty happy with the fact that they got to install our system, number one, and then and then they get to clean it every week.
And it's a handsome system too, man. Like, I've been in Haymarket's cooler, and it's really neat, you know. Like, and then it's like it splits off into three, so all three bars are covered. Yeah. This place, not Haymarket.
Yeah, we did initially. The main bar was run off a direct pull from kegs, and then our east room and our patio space came off of a fob system to push the beer out to those places. And it just seemed like the smartest thing to do was financially and all of that. And also to be able to put some of our seasonal beers out to other places that we wouldn't be able to do before. Because if we only got one keg, we can only have it inside. So now if we get one half barrel of something special, we can run it outside and inside. So whereas before, you had to have two of everything.
Yeah.
Which was kind of fun, because I would tell them, hey, I need two. And then they would sneak me a second one. Now I can get away with like letting some other people have some stuff too. And they they can have them too. Yeah. But it's great now. Like, everything runs off of one keg. So, and I think there's a mile of line.
It's a total, like, for all three bars.
Yeah, for all three bars, they ran over a mile, close to 2 miles of beer line to surface all three bars. And, you know, that's a lot of beer sitting in a line.
It's pretty much, do you feel like being in this location, like, all the beer goes through pretty quickly? Like, nothing's, like, sitting there for...
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe Miller Lite or... But
everyone has a late night beer after they've had too many strong beers.
I can murder some Coors Light. I'm not going to lie.
No, I mean, there's definitely things that move differently, but in general, we always find a way to feature those things. And also, you got to think about every server. We're not just a bar, so it's not just one or two bartenders telling what they like. I have 50 servers on staff that transfer out through the week, so they all have a favorite style of beer. They all have a favorite beer, so that kind of helps move it, which is kind of cool. So like, every time you come, you ask your server for recommendations. It's not just like, I love Antihero. It's like, I love Antihero, but I really like Eugene Porter, or I really love what Brewery Vivant is doing, you know? So you get a really cool experience when you have 50 servers who all have their own tastes, and they kind of provide the experience for you also, which is kind of nice.
That's pretty cool, man. So let's talk about events, man. It's an event show. I've been to some really cool events here, which is kind of part of the reason I wanted to come. Let's talk about some of the events you've done in the past, and then some of your favorites, and then what you guys have coming up.
Yeah, I think the first event we ever did here was with Lagunitas when they were first opening their brewery, and we did a full seated dinner for like 50 people, and it was cool and everything, but it didn't take advantage, I think, of what we really had to offer. So the first thing that I did when I took over the beer program, which was our second dinner, was cider dinner. And it just seemed to me like nobody ever really pays attention to ciders. And I think that cider community is blowing up, and there's so much really cool stuff out there, that we did a 7-course cider dinner. And so we featured 7 different ciders. And instead of doing just like a regular seated dinner, we made everything pretty much passed or straight off the grill on our patio. So we set up a grill. We had all of that stuff. We made tacos. We made gosh, I don't know, that was over a year ago, and I can barely remember last week, but yeah, we did so much stuff, like grilled peach for dessert, and we tapped a firkin of Vandermill Michigan Wit as part of the party that nobody knew we were going to have. It was kind of, when you got there, we were like, surprise, like here's an addition. Yeah. So, and that went really, really well. So after that, it was just, we're going to do grill out parties. It's going to be parties on our patio, that kind of stuff. Obviously, the barley wine dinner, we couldn't do that because it was January in Chicago. But
we still did it like convivial, which I think that's what really makes sense. Is like, we don't run it like a seated beer dinner. You sit with seven people and you have to talk to them, and they might be horrible.
Yeah, it's more of like a communal thing.
Yeah, it's like more like absolutely. A beer fest. So it's like, you know, usually we do jockey boxes even just so it makes people move around the room and interact with different people. And then, you know, there's different food stations. So I think that really helps kind of just like, I mean, beer is convivial. It's not just sit alone and drink a beer.
That's true. Yeah, I think that's the last one I went to. I think Metropolitan was here.
Yeah, you came to the last year's Oktoberfest party, which we have coming up on September 23rd.
Yep, Wednesday night.
For our second annual Oktoberfest party. But yeah, we do that. We had Metropolitan here, Left Hand, last year, and Two Brothers with a surprise, again, a surprise firkin. So where we did Abel's Vice with vanilla and almonds in a firkin, and it was a surprise. So made it a big communal thing to tap the firkin.
Yeah.
We did a whole pig. We did, you know, brats and sauerbraten and, you know, cabbage and all those fun German things. And we have that menu coming out pretty soon, too. I think it's on our website already. Yeah, you can check it out on our website on howlsandhood.com. The menu and all the beer features are there. Yeah, buy tickets through
Eventbrite.
No. You can get them off.
Click the link on the website.
It's on the website.
There's too much technological stuff.
Sorry, folks. Just go to the website.
I don't handle the technological
I got
stuff
every week. Yeah.
But it's going to be great. It's one of the things that we try to make sure that we don't do is get ahead of ourselves, like seasonally. So, Oktoberfest, we're gonna do what we did last year. We're gonna release on the
19th, I believe,
4 o'clock.
Now, is that when the actual Oktoberfest over in like Munich or wherever?
It starts on the 19th in Munich at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
If we were gonna do that, I think it would be 8 in the morning or something like that. If we did it, 12. So we could probably
that's actually a good idea.
We could actually do it actually when they tap at 4 o'clock in Munich. We could do that here. That's a good idea.
Wow, yeah,
maybe
wild.
We'll do that. We'll have our own little breakout. Last year, I think we had 17 or 18 Oktoberfests that we released, and we just ran them through until they were gone. When they were gone, we didn't push anything through, and then the last day of Oktoberfest, which this year will be the 4th, we'll be done.
No, you guys have a go-to Oktoberfest that if you see it, that's your one?
Honestly,
put you on the spot here.
It's something we don't carry here, but I had it late in the season last year, and it was Milwaukee Brewing's Oktoberfest, or maybe it was Capital, sorry, out of Wisconsin, and it was unbelievable.
I love that brewery.
I mean, they're really...
Well, no, Capital
Brewing. MKE, though, is really good also, Capital. Yeah. They're both great.
Because Oktoberfest is a fun style because it's so simple, and yet there's just little tweaks that just, like, make the one light years ahead of the other one.
It's a weird thing. I don't want to drink Oktoberfest right now because it's 95 degrees outside.
Yeah, man, I'm glad that you guys really
And we're talking about that now. It's like, you know, I mean, obviously, you see it in the stores, Shipyard and everything else has been in Binnie's already. It's like... The reps come to us and they're like, "Are you ready to buy pumpkin beer?" And I'm like, "No."
Yeah.
But like, I really want to be on a boat tonight.
They're like, "It won't be here if you don't buy it this week." Yeah. So we have a couple things in the cooler, but you know, you really gotta. I think as a craft beer community, we all need to say no. To pumpkin beers in August.
Yeah, seasonal creep is a bad, bad thing. I think. But yeah, I mean, I'm with Max. I think Oktoberfest style though. Man, the Haas. From Great Divide, which is their Martzen style, their rye, that is Martzen style, they do all year round. That beer is super dope. But if it's going to be something that only comes out Oktoberfest time, Kaiser from Avery.
Well, yeah, if we're getting into Imperial stuff.
Yeah.
Of course. Which we will have at our beer dinner is the Avery the Kaiser, which is their Imperial Oktoberfest, 9%. Yeah. Beautiful.
Regular ones, though. Regular Oktoberfest. I mean... Atom Smasher and Afterburn from Metropolitan and Two Brothers. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one of those. They do, especially Metropolitan. I mean, that's what they do, lagers, right? So, I mean...
They better do them right.
Yeah. So Afterburn is great. But again, I'm like with Max, it's not really like a style that you search out until it is that time of the year to really
chill in the
it.
Air, and that's when you want it,
I'm not going to drink barley wine in June.
Yeah,
But I'll drink the hell out of it in December and January when it's real cold outside, you know.
I'm with you, man. I remember, I think it was Fismas. Fismas showed up in stores like around November 1st, like right after Halloween. And I'm like, no! I like that you guys have an appreciation for seasonality.
Yeah. Well, we actually missed out on Fismas last year. We were supposed to get it. Yeah. And, you know, we weren't going to release it until Christmas. But
or sometime near it.
But we missed out on it because we didn't bring it in. But you know, but you win some, you lose some, because we had, you know, some crazy Belgians and adoration from Omegang and Jubilee from Deschutes.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Yeah.
And Jubilee on Nitro last year, which was super cool. So I mean, we were able to get our hands on some stuff that, you know, was still pretty cool.
It wet our whistle just fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think one of the things we want to, being here is important because we're like talking about local option, and we're talking about Hop Leaf before, and all those places on the north side and in the like neighborhoods. But this is down, you guys are downtown, and people, I guess the craft beer drinkers are like, I don't go downtown kind of thing. And I think that's us being here and talking to you guys and seeing your draft list and your beers is just like, wow, I need to come down here. Like, what am I doing?
It's definitely something we kind of like fight against, you know. And you know, coming up, I think beginning of October, we're doing an event, and we were doing a lot of events on like weekdays, and most of our weekday crowd is like, get out of work, have two beers, go right home, you know. And a lot more of the neighborhood bars do great with those special tappings, so we're moving that one to a Saturday when it's people have a little more time and they're willing to like head downtown with a significant other or just some friends, and like, all right, I gotta make a couple errands, I want to hit a couple shops, and then let's go get some great beer, you know. Let's go meet a couple people who are tapping their own beer and go from there. So it's just kind of, you know, we're still finding our way, I think, a little bit, kind of get people in, because we do get cool stuff, and we want to release to the people who really love it, not just the guys with the corporate cards. We love them also, though.
Yeah,
and you hear,
that is true.
You hear people from, they come in from out of town, and they want, like, local beer. Has that been, like, a pretty important thing? I'm from Alabama. What's from Chicago? Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, even outside of America.
Okay.
You know, we get a lot of people from Europe and a lot of people from, you know, from Mississippi or Alabama or Florida or go the other way to California that can't get some of the local things that we have. And that's how we focused our menu this summer. We changed out the layout where the very first page of the menu is everything that we have that is from Chicago. Not from the burbs, but has a Chicago zip code. It is from Chicago in Cook County, Chicago. Like, you know, Revolution and Metropolitan and Off Color and those guys. And then the next page is the rest of the Midwest. So the Burbs, Michigan. So that's where you're going to find your Founders, and you're going to find Bell's, and you're going to find
Solemn Oath,
Two Brothers.
Yep. All the way out to Great Lakes. It's probably where we cut the limit off, is Ohio.
Great Lakes is the last of the Midwest. And then it's broken down kind of more stylistically. But the first question is, what do you have local? And so instead of flipping through 8 pages of our giant beer list, you know, they can go here. This is local. This is right next door to local.
And this is all in like this beautiful like leather bound, like, you know, 40 page booklet. It's really cool.
Yeah.
40 page. Yeah. That's a
lot. It seems like it.
It seems like 40 pages.
Especially when we do menu change.
Moby Dick.
Yeah. When we do menu change, you would think our service staff and our host staff thought it was 40 pages because it takes a while.
I've been slaving over this menu for 4 hours. It'll be fine. I'll buy you a beer.
Yeah, you'll be okay. and then also we have a flight program that we do here too. So, you know, on the first page of the beer list has some pre-made flights, like bourbon. There's like a bourbon barrel flight. There's around the world flight.
Yeah, that's my favorite flight. We have beer from Sri Lanka on the menu.
Yeah,
Lion Stout from Sri Lanka is a holdover from when basically the colonial like empire took over Sri Lanka.
That's a fun beer, yeah.
And it's this beautiful stout. It's unbelievable.
Delicious.
The can is really nice if you've ever seen the can.
Yeah. It's number one beer of Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Pretty sure it's a state-owned brewery.
For sure.
It's great. I mean, let's talk about the sample program. It's like we want people to try beers. I mean, rather than just say, oh, do you mind if I get an ounce of that? Can I try that? It's like, you know, if you're trying to figure out the best Saison that you're going to like, we got maybe 8-10 on the menu right now. Order 4 you want, and we'll give you 6-ounce pours.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, super affordable, and you can truly taste them next to each other. So if any people out there are like trying to study for any kind of their beer certifications or anything, like come in and do a blind tasting. Have your buddy pick you four beers and see, can I pick them out? Can I figure out styles? It's like, it's a great way to just try beers and really, you know,
challenge,
indoctrinate yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So throw down some money.
I mean, some people say they can't, that they can tell the difference between Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light. I'll tell you what, I'll take that challenge.
Man, there was one night where we tried Pilsner off and tried. We had like six or eight different Pilsners, and I think we knew what they were, and we were just trying to like, which one is this?
Yeah, right? Even if you know which four they are, but you don't know what order they're in, it's...
And then your friends throw in like the random beer, and then you get all confused, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
I had a buddy studying for the sommelier, for the advanced part of the sommelier, and he had a tasting group, and it was like a buddy with from MK and Everest. He was from Everest and all of that. This was years ago. And he was running behind, and he brown bagged a bottle of wine. And they were going for, what is this wine? Where is it from? You know, what year?
What year?
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. And everyone voted on their favorite. His was his favorite. He opened the brown bag, and it was freaking Yellowtail Shiraz. and his buddies were so pissed. But that's kind of the thing. You know, like, you never know.
That's that's kind of
test
the way
yourself
I feel
out a little bit, you know? See what you got.
So besides the Oktoberfest event, anything else coming up that people should keep their eye out for?
We
do like to focus on events here on Chicago Beer Pass. We've been on tour lately.
It's a tour, man. It's been exciting, man. We got 3 weeks in a row where we're just going to cool spots that we like hanging out at.
Yeah,
so.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we got a couple things coming up next month or so. Obviously, Oktoberfest, September 23rd. Feel free to check out the website, see if it tickles your fancy. Otherwise, we have a couple things. We're going to do a group kind of introduction with XL Brewing. They're out of, like, Southern Illinois. It used to be actually a soda company. So they had all the stainless steel tanks. They had all this equipment. They had a warehouse. They had a packaging facility. And they hired a guy who used to work at the Escondido Brewery for Stone. So he works with them now. And they came in a couple months ago. They tasted me out. And they tasted me out Gumball Head against their Hoppy Weed.
Oh, I remember that.
And I was blown away. And I was like, I'll buy the keg on the spot. And I bought the keg on the spot. We tapped it. We sold it very well. So we're doing a big event with them. We're going to do their Saison. We're getting a firkin of their double IPA. The brewer's going to be here as well, so it's not just like a rep from the market. The actual brewer will be here, named Rod. They're doing their Saison. And I bought back the first day I met them because I was so enamored with them. Their second anniversary Baltic Porter aged on cocoa and vanilla beans.
All right.
So that's just sitting in the cooler just waiting for all of us on September or October 5th. That'll be a Saturday as well, so you don't need to worry about getting out of work or anything else.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you know, I would definitely say, you know, we have Lee here as well who does our marketing, and he does a very good job.
Shout out to Lee, man. He kind of pulled
this whole thing
together.
He's great. You know? Yeah, and Lee's one of the guys, like, if you look at everyone at corporate who comes to our beer events, Lee's the guy who comes to every single one. He's still a very healthy gentleman, but he also comes to every event that involves good beer, which is great to see. But, yeah, definitely, I keep in contact with Lee. I try to let him know when we're tapping cool stuff. I know he'll always ask, you know, let me know when this thing is going on. I've heard buzz about it, whatever else. So the Twitter always goes well. And I think Instagram as well. I try to take pictures of the keg room sometimes. If you like pictures of metal circles, that's the one to follow.
People do, yeah.
But yeah, it gets excited. So yeah, definitely keep in touch with that. And we'll always tap into new beers, especially going into winter. We have a hell of a cellar that we're excited to kind of release little bits here and there and all kinds of fun stuff. So keep in touch with him. And we actually have a firkin of Blackberry 8-bit from Tallgrass that we'll probably release this weekend or next weekend, so keep an eye out for that one. We gotta do the whole hammer ceremony.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
And you know, and like we said, the 19th we'll be releasing all of our Oktoberfest for the year to run those 2 weeks, and then the 23rd again, it's 6 o'clock start for the thing, barbecue, Oktoberfest beers.
All you can eat, all you can drink. Yeah.
Like even it goes six. And, usually it's 6 to 9. Like food will wrap up at 9, and then we'll just still drink at the patio bar until we're tired. Yeah. And
we love
home.
Hanging out with and meeting the people who like you know come in here. It's great.
Yeah.
So.
And then October 5th, along with the XL Brewing, will be our fall rollout for our new beer menu. Cool. So
exciting.
So that happens the same day. So.
I saw something about like a Bears brunch or something down there. Too.
Yes. Lee can probably speak better than that.
Lee, grab a microphone, man. Let's hear about it, buddy.
Everybody loves the English.
let's talk just a little bit real quick, man, about the Bears brunch, man.
Bears Brunch. So Bears opening game, Sunday 13th September. We do a regular Sunday brunch here every week.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's adequate. It's Chef Brett, the executive chef here, puts on a full buffet, hot and cold items. Pastries, cheeses, fish, homemade charcuterie.
Yeah.
Yep. Three carving stations, brisket,
ham,
beef strata. Again, check the website because there's like 40 things that I can't remember.
Right on.
But yes,
it's a little different than a regular brunch menu.
Yeah. So the Bears Brunch. He took his regular Sunday menu and kind of amped it up a little bit, made it a bit more Chicago focused. So we have a couple of good Chicago. Chicago soul food, is that be the correct term?
It's like every ethnic cuisine. Like, we have the Polish stuff, we're going to do some Polish dishes, we're going to do, you know, all the different, you don't need to take it away from me, but yeah, it's going to have, like, something from every neighborhood kind of thing, you know? Yeah. So we'll kind of represent as much as we can, the German, the Polish, a little bit of everything, which would be cool.
Don't forget the Irish.
Yeah, that's me. But yeah, it'll be cool also. We'll do specials every Sunday, and he came up with some absurd things. He came up with something called the Angry Face Burger, yeah, also known as the Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And it's just this big, cranky, slow-moving burger.
The Kyle Long is like a sausage plate.
Yeah.
So you kind of get that, where we're going there for that one. Kyle Long, sausage. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
If you didn't get it at first.
Well, last week, Lisa busted out this Steel Reserve pineapple, and you guys have this, like, Underberg.
This is one of our new favorites.
It's become like a theme to drink just ridiculous things.
This is actually, if you come to the Oktoberfest party, everyone at the party will be doing a little toast with the Underberg.
Okay.
Kind of closer to the end of the food. So it's a little digestif from Germany.
Right. So the idea is it's supposed to maybe like help with a hangover too, right? Or that's just the rumor.
Allegedly, you can eat like 8 pounds of bratwurst, have one of these, and be fine.
Okay.
And like look skinny.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but I keep drinking it and hoping.
Okay.
It's super like licorice, anise-y, and it goes just really well with food. It really does. It's kind of clean, and it comes in cute little like 20 milliliter bottles, so it's a little less than a shot, and it just really just kind of calms the stomach. It's nice.
Yeah.
So that'll be
a shout out to Artisanal.
Yeah,
right there.
Those guys
love it. They're the ones that bring it over. They're
I think it's awesome. slowly replacing Malort, maybe.
Oh,
it might.
Yeah.
And by slowly, I mean really slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, we may sip on this here in a moment, but before we get out of here, where can people find out more? You mentioned the website, Twitter, all that stuff. What is it so people can follow?
Yeah, we'll give it over to Lee on that one, yeah.
Yeah, we've got howlsandhood.com is our website. You can follow us on Facebook. It's just Howls and Hood. And then the Twitter account is at Howls and Hood. We like to keep it easy.
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah, yeah. Instagram at Howls and Hood. We like to keep it easy. And then Bottleneck Management as well. If you check out Bottleneck Management, their website.
And there's always some fun videos up there. I know there's a goofy video of Phil and I hammering a tap into a firkin back with some stuff. And
firkin
a hop slam we did last year, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was super nice. But Lee does a good job, and you'll find some good stuff from, I think Phil does a video on how to pour the perfect pint and everything else. And just kind of, we just try to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
And Nick, if people want to find you, where can they get in touch?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes. You know, go on there, leave us a review. Helps more people find the show. Gets more people listening and drinking Chicago beer. That's kind of what we're doing here, promoting Chicago drinking.
Yeah,
we're super happy to be a part of this. This is great. Thank you very much.
Great having you guys. And we share a lot of events on the show and on our Facebook page too, on /Chicago Beer Pass, because there's stuff, you know, we just don't see until it's too late. We did record the episode, or like this week, we're focused on Halls and Hoods here, where we'll share some events on the Facebook page, so be sure to like us up there.
Awesome.
And that'll do it for, I think, episode 93?
93 already?
Jeez.
That's crazy, man. Hey, listen, Phil, Lee, Max, you guys are doing a killer job of having like a proper beer program in downtown Chicago. It's really cool. So thanks for coming out, man. We had a blast.
Oh, thank you guys very much. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect. I was a little nervous, but I'm super excited now.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get a lot of, like, you know, publicity and, like, fan mail now, right?
Yeah. I think
that's what Lee told us.
Groupies is what I'm going
to. You may have to wear a fake mustache.
Yeah. And we hung out so long that the sun has now gone down, and now you can take photos from the Tribune building.
We have to take another set of photos.
Because it's even cooler at night.
So. Cheers, and thanks for listening to Chicago Beer Pass.
Later.